Yeah, not all our stations are at full capacity in terms of being able to really do a national broadcast.
I get that with this particular example, and while it's disappointing that this didn't happen, it seems to me it's simply a mistake that we need to learn from, and I would like to see what it is we're supposed to be doing in terms of protocols so that... let me ask you a different question. Do you think the protocols as they're written are what's needed? That's the way it ought to be? That's what's really required so that within that framework, any particular national programming event should be sort of worked into it? Or do you think that they are, in fact, not actually what you would do if you wanted to make a national programming event happen? That framework is really not useful.
I think it's probably pretty good still. I'd have to look at it again and try and figure out what... I think it's actually probably a little bit too complicated for current circumstances. They were written when we had more staff and more capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And we have less of that now, and so I think everything is meaner and leaner. So probably some parts of the protocol are kind of a luxury at this point. But I think that, in general, yeah, they're sound. They're based on the sound principles of the needs of a national broadcast. I do think that one thing we could add, although I haven't seen them for a while, but is we probably have to be more stringent about what the actual technical capacities are of the broadcaster.
Right.
Because that's become an issue, especially in D.C., so... I'm not sure that level of scrutiny is in the protocol.
Yeah, sure.
I agree.
Okay, well, it'd be great if you would just, at least send it to the affiliate task force. I'm interested
sure,
in knowing.
Sure, we can do that. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so how soon can we expect that?
I'm sorry, if you didn't mean to step on you.
How soon can we expect that? Ursula?
I don't know. When as soon as I can. I mean,
we got to pull it off the wiki and format it.
I mean, I'm not sure.
It's just a matter of forwarding it, is it not?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure what your question is. I mean, we said we would do it.
Well, we as CMB members are in the process of preparing for the board meeting. So the sooner we get information, the better it is. In terms of making those preparations, so I don't want it to be like a week from now and we're scrambling. Okay, George, you had another question
about the portal. It's probably other people know, but I don't. What are some of the capabilities that we'll have as a result of the portal, and how is it different from AudioPort, or is it sort of Super AudioPort?
No, AudioPort is really. Different in that it serves a specific purpose of distributing sound files. The portal would not be, specific to that. The idea is that it would be a website that would bring together a lot of the strengths of the network, anywhere from support projects for stations to administrative sections for stations to work together, for instance, something like what LaVarne was suggesting would be in the portal. A way for stations to help each other out, a place for stations to share information. And what I'm finding more and more is that with the size of our network now, it is attracting people who see the network as a vehicle for them to support community. And so, we have the potential now to attract people who are offering, exciting projects that could be beneficial to all the stations in the network. So part of the portal would be, a collection of a menu of projects that stations could pick or choose from to try out, to support themselves. It would also be a place to organize group buying projects. Now, one of the things that is happening is that more and more of the producers that put their work into AudioPort are asking to make their work available to the public. When a producer puts their work in AudioPort, it is not public. It's limited to the affiliate stations. And changing AudioPort would probably not be advisable. It really should stay kind of a wholesale facility. However, it is possible that in a portal to begin developing a podcasting function where producers who wanted to make their work available to the public could podcast it. And if it was in the portal, it could become a facility, would go across the network. So you're dealing with a much larger amount of content than, one station. So that each station, in a sense, would be a gateway to, these kind of resources of the whole network. The portal would be designed so it would have landing pages so that they would seem to fit into local stations' websites. So it would build their value. So it's really looking for a lot of ways to give national support to all of the stations in the network's local efforts at fundraising and, branding themselves as really leaders in their community for their community life. That's the short answer. George, if you want to know more about it, I'd be happy to talk to you about it. I just can never reach you, so you're going to have to call me. I don't know how to find you.
Is it written down any place?
Not yet, no. I mean, it's in bits and pieces.
Okay.
But I'd be happy to talk about it with you more, George. But honestly, I need you to call me because I can't figure out how to reach you.
I have the same problem. When do you plan to write it down, Ursula?
I don't know yet, Afia. It's still in the planning stages. I don't know.
This is something you're working with John and Otis on, correct?
No. John and Otis have not been. John was involved with the one initial draft, and since then, no, I haven't been working with them on this.
Could we get a copy of that one initial draft?
I sent it to Grace a long time ago. I'm not sure it's really the best. I mean, I can do it. I'm not sure I think it would be a lot of reading on your part that's pretty bad. I would prefer to wait until it's clearer. That first draft was pretty hard to get through. I don't think Grace ever even read it. It was too much to deal with.
I don't know. I'm usually a pretty good judge of my own time, so if you wouldn't mind, I would like to see it.
I would rather wait. I would rather wait and really, produce a document. That I don't want to release a lot of documents that are very outdated by now.
Did anyone else
question.
Have a... Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Dave with a question. Hi, Ursula.
Hi, Dave.
I want to commend you and John. Did you guys have something to do with the Obama speech last night, then, the broadcast?
Thanks. Thanks. Did you guys take it?
It turns out that, no, I was just checking AudioPort. It looks like you had 10 downloads.
Uh-huh. That's pretty good
for
the event. I mean, that's
exactly.
That's the after the fact. That's not the live coverage.
How does affiliates, I mean, I'm just kind of naive, how do affiliates find out when this is going to happen? Broad email that's sent out, or how was notification done?
David, are you're not on Pacifica Announce?
I am not.
Okay, well, that's an important fact that we just uncovered. I will put you on tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah. I apologize for that. That's one of the problems with not having Doug here. That was one of the things he used to do, is constantly troll Pacifica Announce for who was missing.
Are there any other questions? Go ahead.
No, I'm done.
Okay. There should be a more systematic way of getting everybody on there. Part of signing up contracts, it would seem that would be automatic. And speaking of contracts, I've not received mine at this point. Is there any reason for that?
No, not really. It's just, getting to everybody. There's a minor reason, but I don't know if I really want to discuss this in public, Afia. I think I would, you know, if I send you, if I send you an email, will you receive the email?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll send you. Well, because sometimes you don't get the emails I send you. But I don't really think I want to discuss that in public.
Very well. I'll be looking for it.
Okay.
Okay. Next item, Madam Secretary?
The next item is old business, and I have sent out the the report from the subcommittee, which met on the 1st of September, and I'll be happy to either read it or give maybe a synopsis of segments of it, and the committee can decide what they want to do with it.
Okay. Oh, it's pretty long. Could you, would you synopsize, and then because we're at close to 9:30, and I want to make sure we have adequate time to discuss the proposal for the Texas meeting, TMV meeting.
Okay. Well, the three people that met were myself, Dina Colbert, and Ursula. Ursula was only on the call briefly. Our concerns included what were the goals of this group, our structure, how we're going to bring in new participants. How we conduct our meetings, how we serve affiliates and include their voices in our services to them, how we relate to them, the relationship of the coordinator to the task force, and also the relationship between the coordinator and the affiliates reps and the staff. And how we as a task force reach our decisions, and if we need to have boundaries. And so then we have some history. The task force was approved in spirit from a document called the PACE document, which was presented in 2002, and the PNB approved it in spirit and then hired a consultant, which at that time was Ursula Rudenberg, to implement that, and then she was hired full-time. And other than some minor administrative things that were in the PACE document, primarily included like the means of, correct me if I'm wrong, Ursula, we had set up in the PACE document a means to kind of poll the affiliates as to what they wanted on the satellite. And it was, I think, more complicated to poll them than possible. So other than that, we've pretty well tried to follow the original document as to what the affiliates wanted. We did one of the first things that Ursula did was a survey, and we created the document from basically affiliate members. And after the original document, all of the original affiliate members basically went on with their jobs, other than two who continued to recruit PNB members, and then some of those people became PNB directors, like Vicky Santa, for example. And some of the things that affiliates originally wanted was organizational administrative continuity. They wanted a unified communication with them as clients. They wanted access to technological infrastructure. They wanted higher standards of professionalism in delivering services. They didn't really want to be involved in Pacifica's politics and turmoil at the time, which was, you know, it involved like many lawsuits and the new drafting of the new bylaws for the for Pacifica and such, and basically they just wanted to do their jobs better, and they wanted clarity about who they would work with at Pacifica, a single point of contact. So, so we kind of reviewed and what they wanted and what was in the PACE document, and we came upon some points of agreement. And one was that it's very important that we provide continuity in developing the relationship with the affiliates and delivery of services to them, and that, I guess, basically we wouldn't micromanage the affiliates coordinator or try to second-guess the affiliates coordinator, that we needed to be, number one, concerned about the commitments that we have to the affiliates as represented by their contracts, and those are legal, financial, and even diplomatic relationships, and it has ramifications in the day-to-day communications that people have with the affiliates coordinator, like, what's going on here, why is this program not? I mean, I can see all kinds of communications. I can only see some of the communications, but I'm sure there are many, many different kinds of communications that we have with our affiliates, and they have legal, financial, and I guess you could say political or diplomatic ramifications.
I'm trying to follow you on the document that you set out, that you sent out. Could you reference where you are on it?
Where I am at, where it says, after reviewing historical information, the following points of agreement were arrived at. It's the final part.
Okay. I see.
And I'm about on item 4. We agreed that it's the job of the task force and affiliate coordinator to respect and protect the above responsibilities and liabilities that we have. And we agreed that people that came into the task force should be integrated, maybe even, you know, for sure they should be read up on the history and read the PACE document and understand some of the structure and the responsibilities. So we agreed that maybe a process should be created on how to introduce someone to the affiliate task force. And we should include things like maybe, like, who specifically do you represent when you're on the task force? And how are you going to participate in decision-making, especially if it affects a Pacifica policy? Because, for example, if you have someone that's not a director that represents an affiliate, for example, like you just asked a question about that would involve a contract, and we really don't want to reveal details of specific contracts in a meeting. And we need to make sure that everyone that's on a call respects those and has to, like, directors are signing off on confidentiality, and they're protecting the foundation. We have responsibilities to the affiliate, but we're concerned about the integrity of the foundation so it can provide the services to the affiliate. And then we discussed the decision-making process that the task force has been using, including the role of the chair and the members, and perhaps it should be reviewed, and perhaps we should create a process to create we should discuss this process. That's kind of redundant there, but okay. And I don't know specifically which of the affiliates made that accusation. But I want to be sure that we're not dealing in rumor, you know, and it's not, I don't know that it's our job to kind of discuss what might be a rumor. Or when it comes to Ursula's way that, you know, that she deals with the clients. So if we have a complaint like that, I guess it should go, somebody that has a complaint like that should, I guess, be referred to the executive director to specifically voice their complaint, because to my knowledge, our affiliate coordinator writes up those contracts and is responsible to provide the services in those contracts. And I don't know. I don't know whether you would. I certainly wouldn't view the way she deals with the clients as patronizing. I think we're providing a service, and it's a client. It's a client relationship.
The privilege belongs to the client, okay? So the client, if the client wants to discuss, however the client wants to deal with that relationship, they make that decision. I don't think we need to go into any further discussion about that. The object at this point is to figure out what we do with the information that you all came up with, you and Dina came up with,
mm-hmm.
And how. One question that I had was, this, you're referring to a document that was a survey that was done in 2002. Is that correct?
Yes, there was a survey done in 2002.
Okay, please. Mm-hmm. My question is whether or not that survey is available, and if it can be, and if we can take it and update it so we're not relying on some 7-year-old document that may or may not be relevant, or may not even have been that good an instrument at the time that it was drawn.
Well, I can say one thing. If we need to do another survey, I'm sure we can do another survey, although it sounds if we expect Ursula to create the survey, I think we should probably maybe start with a subcommittee and see if someone has experience in writing a survey. But
could we? I'm going to wrap your part up in a couple minutes so that we have time to deal with the planning of the Houston meeting. So is that a yes or no that the survey is or is not available?
I'd have to ask her. I can't. But there are two, if you read the document, there are two ways that we came up with the PACE document. One was face-to-face gathering of information of what affiliates want. And the affiliates from the very beginning said, we do not want to be involved in the politics of Pacifica. We don't want to have to take sides. We don't want to have to get involved in demonstrations. We want to do radio. You know, I can count at least 10 people that told me that.
Well,
and I was involved in writing the PACE document.
The fact that affiliates took a position on the board, two positions on the board, run for those positions, belies the notion of not being involved in Pacifica politics. The affiliates have two political positions on the board. So the question is, that being the case, how then do the affiliates effectively represent the affiliates in the context of the board and policy making. So if the 2002 document is not available, then, and we're having to start from scratch, then yes, I would agree with you that a subcommittee might be useful.
But it's not available? Excuse me, it is available.
Oh, good. Okay.
The PACE document is available.
The survey.
Oh, I don't know about the survey. I know the PACE document is available.
Okay. So my question goes to the survey.
There's an executive summary of the survey on PacificaNetwork.org, and it's under the About section, and it's Brian, can you help me out? I think
I'm going to just try
What's
to
it called
it,
again?
Go back to it right now. Let me see if I can. Give me a minute to find it, please.
Okay. The executive summary of the survey is online. Now, the actual spreadsheet is probably available, although the computer that it was in seems kind of hard to get into right now, but I probably have bits and pieces of it with it otherwise. But the conclusions from the survey are available online.
Okay, and you wanted the what specifically did you want?
The question is the only question on the floor is whether or not the original survey is available. Ursula is saying that she may have bits and pieces, so I would ask that those bits and pieces be made available for developing a current survey.
Well, okay. I mean, I would
rather than starting from scratch.
Pardon me?
Rather than starting from scratch.
The problem is that the question that the task force has to deal with is, do we want a survey to be done at this time if it means that our affiliates coordinator is the one that has to do all the work?
Well, I don't know that.
Well, can I speak to this?
I don't know how you got to that, but it is my clock is 9:44. So I'm leaving 60 seconds to bring this to closure.
Simply asking that the
survey questions, whatever of the survey is available, that if you would forward it to the task force, that would be helpful. Go ahead, Ursula.
Okay. I mean, I think for the sake of clarity, the survey was a survey that was done, you know, at a particular moment in time right after the Pacifica struggle ended. So the questions are about that. Now, I don't think that's... because we responded to the survey and built the program based on those responses, the program moved forward, and the proof that the survey was accurate and carefully done is that the program has succeeded tremendously, and because it was based on the principles given to us through the survey. So I think now we did do a survey of affiliates 2 years ago before Doug left. But at this point, the discussion is about completely different issues because the Pacifica struggle is already way in the past. So those issues, you know, have receded. I can try and find the old survey and find sections that pertain to, you know, involvement with governance. But most of the survey would be really, you know, irrelevant to you right now. I think it would be more helpful to read the summary, but I'm happy to try and go back and find the survey. But I think the point is that the survey did happen. things were done based on that, and the results have occurred already. We have a program. When the survey was done, 13 of those people were still affiliates and furious. Today we have 170 affiliates, and by and large a pretty positive feeling despite a lot of problems. And that is the result of the work done from that survey. It really is. And so I think that we have moved forward in time.
There are also other interactions that several of us had with affiliates.
Let me stop you. It is now 9:46, and I would suggest that we move this item, continue this discussion on the next meeting so that we can talk about Ursula's proposal for the Texas meeting, PMB meeting.
Okay. All right, this is Teresa. I'll move that we discuss this at the next meeting.
Continue. Table or to continue?
That we just continue this discussion at the next meeting.
Yes. Okay. Ursula, would you go ahead with your proposal, please?
Okay. Well, I'm proposing that the board members from Houston, in particular, if you would, this is a question really more than a telling you. I'm asking you whether you think this would work. What I would like to see would be those of you who are in Texas to reach out to the affiliates, you know, nearby, and have a conversation with them prior to the meeting, so that you have an ability to, you know, get to know them a little bit and have them become a little bit familiar about what about the PMB, so that there's a somewhat of a relationship prior to the meeting, and that you be able then to introduce the affiliate at the board meeting. And so there's a little bit of a more complete process of understanding on both sides. And I guess my other I would hope there might be some sort of hospitality event for the visitors on some level somewhere. And the other thing, you know, I've thought about this a lot, and I think one way also to solve a lot of these problems is to really, maybe not in Houston because it might be too soon, but to really look at Skype technology and see, you know, if we could bring Skype into this, we could bring people from anywhere in the country into the board meeting via Skype, and you know, project their image on the on a screen and have them talk directly to the board without having to go to the expense of traveling. So those are some of my ideas. So my question was how you guys in Houston felt about that, about possibly, you know, taking on one affiliate as a kind of guest and, you know, virtual guest and give them a call before the meeting and then have the ability to introduce them to the PNB so that there's a smoother transition.
This is George. I'd be glad to do it. Is there any reason we can't do Skype technology now? I mean, it sounds like you just...
Well, maybe we could. That's kind of up to John to let me know if he has time to figure that out. It's also... we'd have to talk to John about that, see if he has time for that.
I mean, I think you just plug the monitor, the projector into the... You know, connect it to the computer, and you see what's on the screen, and that's it.
Okay.
This is Teresa.
Do that.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I certainly am enthusiastic about being welcoming to someone, but I think we need to be clear about. I hate to just invite someone and have them find that it is tedious or not useful. If I were to approach an affiliate, I would feel better about inviting them to a session that was educational, for example, rather than people haggling over a budget or something. So I would like to be more specific about what they were invited to. If, for example, we invited the general manager of KEOS in College Station, for example, he's certainly welcome to come to our social, you know, events. I know Stacey Davis is thinking of having a party Saturday night. She usually does, and I'm sure people would even put him up, Lance Parr, for example. But
right.
I think we have to be careful about just opening a general thing, maybe, you know, a general invitation that's vague and giving the wrong impression about what they would get out of it. Also, I'm not even sure if we know where we're meeting yet, because it was only 2.5 weeks ago, I think, that the national board decided upon the date. Do we even have a meeting location yet, George?
Deb's seen a couple of places that look good, and Wendy is checking them out. We don't have one yet, but we should have one within about a week.
Mm-hmm. So it probably won't be until about 2 weeks before the event that we even know the hotel or the meeting space of this event.
I don't think that's a problem.
George, do you and to Texas people, if there are people who want to, affiliates who want to come and need a place to stay, who can't afford to stay at a hotel, would you all be able to possibly find a couple or three homestays, depending on the response that we got?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put out the general call, and while we're on, since we are on the stream, to announce that the PMB meeting is in Houston, Texas, the weekend of October 9th. So let that be a hold the date, and I will send out a hold the date on tomorrow, or maybe, but I might get to it tonight, so that people can begin to make arrangements. And an RSVP as they will. And then I can pass that on, or if you have an email address, Teresa or George, that you would...
feel free to give my email address. I would actually prefer a phone, but I don't know exactly where that phone number is going to be passed if you put out this general call.
Yeah. Well, why don't I do this? I'll have them send it to me, and then I can send it to you all, and you can respond that way, as is appropriate. That might be the easier thing to do. Okay.
This is Ursula. I mean, in order to implement my suggestion, that there needs to be some coordination. So is there? I'm certainly willing to help with the coordination, since I know most of these people. And but is there some way that I can, you know, be informed of who's responding so I can help with that?
I'll notify the task force as the responses come in.
Okay, so you'll post it on Pacifica, the affiliate task force listserv.
Exactly.
Okay.
Ursula?
Yes.
How many people do you think might be showing up?
You know, I don't know. This is a really new territory, isn't it?
Are you coming to this meeting, Ursula?
I don't know.
It would be very bad if the affiliates were invited and Ursula wasn't there. So if an invitation is going to be extended to affiliates to come and Ursula is not at the meeting, I would suggest that it not happen.
Well, you know, the affiliate task force and the affiliate board reps will be there.
That's not the same as the affiliate coordinator who works directly with these people that are being invited against the wishes of the majority of the affiliate task force members who have repeatedly said, don't do it. But since you continue to insist that this be done and it's not it's not a collaborative decision of the affiliate task force, but it's your decision alone, it is important that the affiliate coordinator who has the most contact with these people be available. The affiliate reps that are at the PNB meeting are very busy being affiliate reps, and they don't have time to handhold the affiliate members that will be there, whereas the affiliate coordinator would be able to meet with them, to answer their questions, to explain the politics that are going on if they're interested in hearing about it. I do not encourage this to happen because it could alienate relationships that Pacifica has with affiliates that Ursula has nurtured over the years that she's been the affiliate coordinator. And I, again, encourage that this not occur, and especially if Ursula is not going to be there.
First and foremost, the task force, without objection, approved this proposal that was made by Grace Aaron. That's number one. Number two, on the last call...
It didn't approve it without objection.
Yes, it did. Secondly, on the last call, we took a poll, and the affiliates who were on the call all approved. And thirdly, as I repeatedly say, affiliates speak best for affiliates. And fourth, that we affiliates are all adults. We are all sane, reasonable people who handle our affairs, the affairs of our stations and our relationships, including contracting with the Pacifica Foundation, and thus are competent to make decisions about what activities we do or do not want to participate in and to what extent.
And as I've repeatedly said before, the Affiliate Task Force is a collaborative organization and is not run by a top-down hierarchical process where the coordinator of the task force makes the decisions without consulting the members. It has to be consensus. That's the way we've always operated, and I believe it's the way we should continue to operate.
And that's the reason why we took a poll, why we proceeded when there was no objection, as we have consistently, even tonight, when Grace made the proposal, number one, and number two, when it was reaffirmed last month on last month's call. So, while there are members of the task force who do not agree, the affiliates do. And since it's our relationship with Pacifica, then I think that we have a particular position and standing to assert the quantum and quality of that, define the quantum and quality of that relationship. Was there someone else who wanted to speak?
This is Teresa.
Yes.
On our last call, Dina Colbert and myself and Chandra Hoffman, each one of us very specifically stated our objections to proceeding in this line. Now, you asked David Beaton what he thought, and he had some qualifications for how he thought we should proceed, and you thought we should go ahead. So that is three people that were opposed and two people that were for, and then Brian Sherman, who was, I don't know if that was his first meeting, but I guess perhaps he was for it, but then I guess I could say that from some of the other things that he said, he was not even quite sure of the history or the purpose of the affiliates program. So I don't know what, Madam Chair, I'm not sure if I would agree with you saying that there was any majority at the last on our last telephone conference, and that's why the subcommittee met. To figure out how we reach our decisions. Is it because the chair comes up with an idea and tries to rally support for it? Or is it because we take some sort of vote or reach consensus? And is a 3 against and 2 for, or even 3 against and 3 for, is that 3 against and 3 for, is that consensus?
I think there's the process that we have, again, as we've engaged tonight, is the same process that was engaged in reaching this decision. And it appears that since the decision did not come out as Pacifica Station rep feel that that it shouldn't be, that therefore it should not be accepted. I think that there is, it represents a tension that flows from a number of points. One is what is the role of the affiliates in Pacifica? What is the nature of the relationship between the affiliates and Pacifica, and what is the relationship with the staff? So, which is clearly a much larger issue than we're going to be able to resolve in 2 minutes. Number one, and number two, whether, and maybe even number one, is whether or not it's within the jurisdiction of this task force to answer those questions. So, it seems to me that this is something else. This is a discussion that we would carry forward to the next meeting.
Well, it's a discussion that you keep initiating, and you don't get support for, and then you just keep reinitiating it. I mean, I don't know how many times we have to discuss the same thing, and for you to hear the same objections from the same people who have been involved from the very beginning, and who continue to say this is not a good idea.
And that the other side of that same coin is as affiliates, you know, how do we find the common ground between the, for lack of a better term, old guard and new guard? How do we find common ground on defining what the relationship of today is? You know, we're finished, you went through the struggle, you did these documents, and now we're into governance. We can't, you know, continue Mao's process of eternal revolution. At some point, we have to get into moving forward and building an institution, and in this instance, institutionalizing our relationship, and hopefully with the kind of flexibility that's necessary for it to be able to grow and to mature and to explore new initiatives and new heights and depths, for at the risk of getting poetic and such. So,
suppose part of my problem is
the larger question is how do we find the common ground in those areas, because that's the tension. And
yes,
it's not a tension that's going to be resolved.
The common ground. I think that as secretary, sometimes I am in the process of typing up notes and miss a point. And I think that 2 months ago, or 3 months ago, when you proposed to invite people to the meeting, all I heard was, well, do I hear any objection? And there's no, and I said, did we just pass something? I remember that specifically, and I said, did we just pass something? When you are suggesting that you're going to invite affiliates to a P&B meeting, I would like to know specifically what role we're expecting them to play in that meeting.
I'll respond to that.
Meetings at the time.
With the correction that it wasn't my proposal, it was Grace Aaron's proposal. And it was adopted without objection. That's number one. Number two is that, as in the case of New York, I will ask that we be put on the agenda, that time be allocated in the formal agenda for presentation, and a time reserved during public comment. And as soon as the agenda has been formulated, and that can, and time certain can be established, that will be noticed.
Do you agree, Madam Chair, that we should, before, if we decide to do this, that we should actually take a vote at this meeting?
No, I don't. I think we've already voted on it.
I think that we have to be real clear on what we're voting for. And when the chair makes a proposal, usually chairs don't make proposals. Usually,
I didn't make the proposal.
You did just now. At this meeting. Am I wrong?
I'm going forward with the original position that was taken, approval to Grace Aaron's proposal that that affiliates be invited to the meeting. So all we're doing at this point is implementing the original decision.
And part of your invitation is that you will ask for time for them, specific time in public comment, and also time for them to make a report
during the formal agenda, in the formal agenda.
For them to make a report on what?
Whatever they want to make a report on. They may even want to make a criticism. They may want to make a suggestion
mm-hmm.
on the proposal, the concept that we approved earlier that LaVarn described and that we said that we accepted to approve without objection.
So there are three.
I would like to make a motion, and my motion is that I move that the affiliates not be invited to PNB meetings, and that the vote be conducted online so that all affiliate task force representatives can be polled, and we can set a date for that so it won't interfere with the next PNB meeting if it comes back that people do not support this.
Can you repeat people have been coming on and off the line. Can you repeat the motion?
Okay. I move that we take that we do not invite, I move that we survey the affiliate task force online to determine if people support the chair's recommendation that affiliates be invited to PNB meetings. And then we can set a date when they have to reply by.
Motion is out of order for a number of reasons. One is because the meeting was over at 10 o'clock and it's now 9 after. Secondly, it's out of order because it's a reverse a motion that was a decision that was previously made, and
we had decided to continue this discussion to the next meeting, and now we're discussing moving forward instead of continuing. So therefore, I made a motion because we're still discussing it when we were going to get off this discussion a half hour ago, and therefore I appealed the ruling of the chair.
There was no the purpose of this discussion is the implementation of the proposal that Ursula made, which is to have members, to have affiliates who are invited, and that the Texas delegation or representatives provide support to them and serve as hosts to those who choose to come. That's the issue that we are discussing at this point. So the motion is out of order.
Madam Chair, I do believe, this is Teresa, I do believe there are some logistical issues involved with our acceptance of her proposal, including Skype. I'm not sure what costs might be involved, what efforts might be involved, all kinds of logistical issues involved with inviting these people. So perhaps Ursula and George might want to meet, and I'll be happy to meet with them too, to find out whether this is really feasible. We may have been premature in approving this, if you're saying that we approved it. We may have been premature. And if you're going to send out this general invitation to people, we better make sure before we invite that we can host them or...
Who's going to pay for them to come?
They pay for themselves to come. They are well aware of that. In fact, one of the points that was made the last time was the lateness of the notice. That's why it will go out either first thing tonight or first thing in the morning.
And are you're going to invite all 170 of the affiliates? Or just...
It's an open invitation.
Was that Ursula's motion or proposal?
Well, you're the secretary, Teresa. Is this reflected in our minutes anyplace?
Well, the problem is that
I'm not going to continue this argument. The motion is out of order.
I appeal the ruling of the chair.
Okay. How many people do we have on a call at this point?
We have Teresa, Chandra.
I'm still here. It's Ursula.
Ursula. Ethia.
Alonzo is here because my building meeting was canceled, so I'm still here.
Glad you're here, Alonzo. Who else is still? Is George and are George and Deb still on the call?
Yes, Deb's not a voter.
Okay, but is George still on the call?
I am.
Yeah. Okay. Who else?
This is Brian. I'm still here.
Brian is here.
David.
And David is here. So, we have one, two... are we counting Ursula as a voting member? Okay, well...
I don't think so.
I don't think so. So the people that will vote would be Teresa, Chandra, Alonzo, George, Brian, and David, and Afia. Seven people.
Point of information.
Please.
What exactly is the ruling of the chair? This is George. Is it that the meeting's over because it was supposed to be over at 10? Or is it that this motion is out of order because it's a motion to rescind something that was already passed by the committee?
It's actually both.
Well, if it's the first, then there's no point taking a vote. You have to have a motion to extend time if somebody wants to make it, which requires two-thirds.
But Teresa had moved previously to table this discussion to the next meeting, and then we continued to discuss it, so... I mean, I don't understand how we continue to discuss it when it was supposed to be tabled to the next meeting.
I don't think we ever voted on the tabling.
No, we never did.
I suggest we vote on a motion to table.
That makes more sense.
And what is the consequence of the motion to table?
That we'd have to wait till the next meeting to decide what to do.
Actually, it's negating your request to send an open invitation out, actually. That's what it's doing.
Which, in effect, results in overturning the decision that was previously made.